Robert Rourke, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well, Gary. How are you?
I'm fabulous. So I have to tell you, everybody should know, you work for probably the greatest newspaper in America, the New York Post. I love the New York Post.
Why do you love the New York Post?
Because and you may not love it, but I'm telling you, as somebody, and I worked on the air in New York, as I mentioned to you, I think, one time, because that is the people's newspaper. That is like, if you're just the average guy in the street, the New York Post is your paper. That paper always seemed to know what the average person would be interested in. Like, you know, headless, a body found in topless bar. That's a classic.
That's one of the things. That's one of the famous headlines, yes.
Yes. So, Robert, how you doing?
I'm having a good year. I'm having a good month. We're on the new fall TV series. We're all very busy watching television.
Because
that's what I do here at the Post, is cover TV.
Wow. There's so much TV now, it's hard to keep track of all of it, isn't it?
It's impossible. And so we're always playing catch-up at the end of the year with certain shows. And then my book came out in September, so I'm trying to do things to promote that as well. So
yeah. Well, congratulations on the book. It's called Car Trouble, and it's been very well reviewed, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I've gotten some good reviews.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrific stuff. So it's basically a coming-of-age movie, and if you have ever been to New York, you know, it's about 1970s Brooklyn, which was a whole different world from what Brooklyn is today, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct. Brooklyn is very gentrified now. Brooklyn is a place where only wealthy people can live. And back in the 1970s, it was a place where a lot of people were just having a hard time getting by.
Right.
As are the characters in my book. So it was a middle class, lower middle class working borough, and if you were wealthy, you lived in a neighborhood like Brooklyn Heights. You didn't live in Flappers, where my characters live. So it was extremely different. It was, you know, back then you had to like twist someone's arm to come out and to visit you in Brooklyn. Now you can't keep people away.
Well, is this autobiographical for you?
There are some elements of the book that are based on things that I remembered, things that I saw, and certain places in the book are real and they're still there, like the cemetery and the hospital and the McDonald's where there's a fight. There's a ancient farmhouse called the Wyckoff House, which is one of the first Dutch stone houses built in the 17th century, so that's part of the book, too. And the cars that the father drives in the book are based on the cars that my father used to get at police department auctions in New York City for about $60 a pop.
Wow.
And they all had nicknames. He gave them all nicknames, and those are the nicknames used in the book.
So the main character of the book is Nicky Flynn, and he's like, is he the only son out of five kids?
He's the eldest child and the only boy, and he becomes the first male adult in the house as the book goes on.
And so the dad is kind of an abusive dad. Was that, I mean, it sounds like there are some parallels there. Was that your father?
My father was a guy who had he had some problems to deal with, and he didn't always deal with them in the most coherent manner. There are elements of the behavior of the character in the book, Patrick Flynn, that are based on things that my father did, but not all of them. I mean, you know, he's a different character than my father. There are things that Patrick does that are based on what the story needed to do and not based on things that happened in the house.
I got you. So, I mean, in the book, are you pretty loving with your description of these cars? I mean, were you really enamored with those vehicles yourself, or was it just your dad?
Well, you know, it was very funny because he never told us when we were getting a new car, and sometimes the car would just disappear. So when they came, it was always a big deal in the house because he was so mysterious about them, and they were everybody had new cars on the block except us. And there was one time where he brought home a pink car that was so startling because nobody had pink cars in the 70s. He came home with his pink car, and everybody on the block, all the kids came over to look at it because it had red stitching, you know, the red leather interior with the contrast stitching, and everyone was just staring at it like, where did you get this? So it added to my father's allure because, you know, he was a guy who was out at night a lot.
Right.
So, you know, he would, like, leave the car parked in front of our house. And when people would just say, well, who owns this? And, who, you know, because they didn't really know my father very well. So, like, it just made him seem very mysterious, very intriguing character. Because everyone was driving Buick Skylarks and, you know, Chevy Caprices. And
sure.
Here comes this old Ford from 1955 that, you know, doesn't get any mileage, but he was very happy with it.
Obviously, there's an act three and a plot twist in this book where things kind of go in a different direction than anyone expects, right?
Yeah, I think that it was important to keep the tension mounting through the book. And there were things that happened in the neighborhood at the time that I drew upon to create more tension. The neighborhood was undergoing a lot of change at the time. Real estate companies were actively trying to get white people to sell their houses.
Oh, really?
And they would, oh, yeah, they would slip mailers through the mail slot telling you now is the time to sell. You know, the bad things are going to happen. The bad people are coming. And people didn't need that much convincing.
Yeah.
Plus, there was an increase in crime. So when those events conspired, a lot of people left the neighborhood, and those families that left were replaced with minority families. Mm-hmm. So the whole complexion of the neighborhood changed. And so, the sense of comfort or relaxation that you may have once enjoyed.
Yeah.
Plus, if you're at Friends growing up, that your friends moved away.
Right. And now Flatbush, as you say, has gentrified. And now my daughter was back going to cooking school a couple of years ago at the International Culinary Center in Manhattan. But she was living in Bushwick. And I had to go on the map.
Wow.
And, Bushwick is still changing, and I'm going, you can't get into Flatbush?
But, right, exactly. There were houses, now that things have settled down and a lot of neighborhoods have rebounded, took 20 or 30 years.
Sure.
They, realtors are now selling homes that people once got rid of in a hurry.
Right.
They're selling them for like $600,000, which is unheard of for that particular neighborhood. I know that in Los Angeles that is like lunch money. But
yeah, that's a teardown.
It's a big deal.
In L.A., that's a teardown right there. 600 grand.
I know. Yeah. I mentioned that. I threw out that price and I did a reading at Book Soup in September, and everybody just laughed at me like, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, we're recommending the book, Car Trouble. It's a great book, really evokes that era. And it's, as always, when it's a very sort of personal story like that, it takes on sort of a universal application because it's, parts of these things are in everybody's life. They really are.
Thank you.
Robert, congratulations. And enjoy your time at the Post, man. You'll look back at it and say, it wasn't that bad.
No, it's good. No, it's mostly great. Great all the time. It's always entertaining.
Yeah.
New York City is a very entertaining place.
Yeah, I hear you, man. It's the best. It's the best. Hey, thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it.
And thank you for having me on. Thank you so much.